The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Oh!
I have to go back to go visit my
we're back in the second hour with Sweeney and the Woz.
Oh, my happy right
and
now.
And I'm playing this song just to play nice with my partner. Because the Flyers have taken a 4-2 lead. And I know that this song is a great example of how he feels right now. I would describe it one of restrained jubilation. Because if we weren't on the air, we'd be doing cartwheels in here like John Belushi.
If I was at Brooklyn right now, watching this in the stadium, I'd be cheering right now when they scored that fourth goal.
A man who lied to me and lied to the public no less than an hour ago, telling me that he relished the chance to play the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Payback.
When I told him the score was 4-2, he almost ran through the door without opening it first.
Like a Wile E. Coyote scene on the door with his mom got to the
side. It was almost as good as winning a playoff series for him, I'm sure.
I think my blood pressure just went up. I'm so excited right now.
So the truth finally presents itself.
Thank you. Here we go.
And unless some miracle occurs in the next 12 minutes of hockey, the Rangers will play the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Florida Panthers will host the New York Islanders. But right now we are going to spend some time talking about the Rangers with a special guest of ours. We're going to bring in a man who's covered the Rangers for a long time, going back to the late 70s.
Yeah.
We welcome Rick Carbonello of the Journal News and Rangers Report. Rick, what's going on tonight, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
All right. Now, listen, I know you got a lot of work to do after this interview because pretty much the Rangers are playing the Pittsburgh Penguins for a third consecutive year. So let's talk for a few minutes about what it's going to take to pull a hat trick here at a Rangerland. What do you got for me tonight?
Well, if you're talking about what's going to take to beat Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah.
First of all, we don't know who Pittsburgh's goalie is going to be.
Right.
So that's obviously a major issue, and I don't know if Malkin's playing. But we've seen Pittsburgh for a couple of months now, and we know that that team is really dangerous. And for me, no matter who they play out, even if they played Buffalo, I think the Rangers need to clean up a lot of their game. And, I think it's going to be more about what the Rangers do than who their opponent is. I really do. Obviously, this is the more difficult road, finishing third, than finishing fourth would have been. But I still think the Rangers, either way, they were going to have to do a lot of work on their game. They're going to have a lot of guys raise the levels at which they played this season, which wasn't, in my opinion, very good, or wasn't very consistent. And I think right off the bat, defensively, they're going to have to figure it out, and they're going to have to figure out how to do it for 60 minutes a night, and they have not been able to do that for 82 games.
Rick, I've been saying it all season long. My biggest problem as a Ranger fan has been, and I think you allude to it, the lack of 60-minute team efforts and the poor decision-making that creeped in right at the end of November, starting with that Tampa loss where they had the 1-1 tie heading towards overtime with a power play at the end of regulation. And it seemed like, I think it was November 19th, it was a week before Thanksgiving, and it seemed from that point going forward, if you went through the schedule and picked apart different games, whether it was the loss in Edmonton, the loss in Boston the day after Thanksgiving, and a number of other games, the Rangers realistically squandered well over 10 points. Just in poor decision-making. And from a defensive standpoint, and what you're talking about, unlike the prior 2 or 3 years, the Rangers are built on having a dominant set of defensemen, not a dominant Norris Trophy-winning defenseman. So that's my biggest concern. And I would think that you watching them night in and night out, that's your biggest concern, is the unit as a whole, right?
Well, and coming into the season, or at least through last season, I was of the opinion that the Rangers 1-6 was arguably the best in the league,
right,
or among the best in the league. And this year, that 1-6 might be one of the worst in the league. And it's just remarkable to me. I mean, a lot of the stat heads will tell you that they saw this coming with Girardi.
Right.
To be honest, I didn't, because I saw him shut down Alex Ovechkin for the last six games of that series last season.
Right.
But I didn't see this coming. You know, the mistakes, the slowness. I didn't see McDonough being this inconsistent. You know, you could have predicted possibly that Yandle and Klein would struggle defensively because they're not defensive stalwarts. And speaking of stalwarts, Mark Stahl was also very inconsistent. So, you know, the only guy who was consistent was Kevin Klein, and his game has fallen apart lately. So, you know, that's my biggest concern. And it's not just their defensemen. It's the way their forwards defend, which is much not at all.
Yeah.
Their top guys really don't defend at all. So, I think they're going to have their hands full no matter who they play.
And yet they put up 101 points to this team. I got to be honest with you, I've talked to, you know, whether it's my father, friends, guys who really follow the team, love the team, and know and stay objective about the team, it's probably been one of the more frustrating good seasons to follow just because of the way they've played game to game.
Yeah. And you look at some of the teams they beat. I mean, they were 5.7 seconds away from beating Washington three times in regulation.
Right.
They beat St. Louis twice. They beat Dallas twice. They beat the Blackhawks once. They beat Nashville once. They beat all the really good teams out west.
Yep.
I think they beat Anaheim twice, if I'm not mistaken. You know, they beat these teams up. San Jose, they beat once.
Yep.
So, you know, you say, well, why, if they beat those teams, why can't they beat Carolina and Buffalo when they need to? Why can't they touch the Islanders? And that just speaks to the inconsistency that has been there from day one this season.
Yeah, for me as a fan, and this is where the NHL got itself in trouble with their playoff structure, once the Rangers lost that Thursday road game in Carolina and then lost that home game to Buffalo,
yeah,
I pretty much as a fan saw a second place disappear and a chance at home ice. And from that moment on, I just wasn't upset the rest of the way with the game. I didn't care about them losing to the Islanders. I guess I would have preferred them losing just because, opportunity-wise, crossing over gives you a better chance, you know, in terms of a path to the semifinals. That's just the reality of it.
Yes.
But that's because the NHL doesn't recede after the first round, at the least.
Right.
You know, it hurts Washington, too, to be honest with you. If the Islanders beat Florida in the first round, it's actually unfair to Washington, 120 points plus, to have to play Pittsburgh or the Rangers as opposed to playing, let's say, Detroit with the lowest point total remaining.
That's how it should work out.
Right.
But it's fair for everybody, you know, and the Islanders had the right to sit as many guys they wanted tonight.
Absolutely.
And they come out with that matchup. It's fair. It is what it is for everybody involved.
Right.
But getting back to what the main focus is for you, for myself as a Ranger fan, of the way the team is going to play, this becomes a situation where as a fan, you have to cling to the hope that the Rangers will profit from their playoff experience in recent years. They have to. They have to take that experience, big comeback series win against Washington last year. I mean, they were 2 minutes from being out in five games. They've been to the Stanley Cup, been to the semifinals twice. You have a Hall of Fame goalie in there. They have to benefit from that playoff experience and build off it. And guys have to. A lot of guys are going to have to do something they didn't do in the regular season. Like Chris Kreider had a very uneven regular season, maybe a little bit better down the stretch. But Chris Kreider has to become a force that no other team has.
Yep.
And the one positive I did take out of this home stretch, the last 10 games, is Stepan scored 15 points in 10 games.
Yep.
That has to happen, whether it's for him or Zuccarello or Broussard or whoever you want to pick out. Somebody has to average more than a point and a half a game. And these top six forwards have to put up points because their penalty killing has been poor. And, you know, as we already spoke about, their defense. Listen, if Kevin Klein didn't score the amount of clutch goals he did this season, we probably would loop him more in with the other defensemen. And in terms of Dan Girardi and his slip this year in performance, when you were with me last year during the playoffs, we spoke about the Pittsburgh series, and when I told you that I thought Dan Girardi was the MVP of that series against Pittsburgh, you agreed with me. That was probably the best defense I had seen him play in any one series.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, and he was good against Washington, too. But, you know, he's always been that guy who will put it on the line and who rises to big games. I don't know if he can do that this year, given the way he is physically and the way his decision-making has been, but... You know, Mark Stahl was really good against Crosby also. And McDonough was pretty good until he broke his foot.
Yeah.
So, you know, that but I don't see that team being this team. And you're right about the top forwards. I mean, I don't see some effort from some of these guys. And I don't like to point fingers, but Derek Brassard, his numbers are fine, but his effort is poor. Matt Zuccarello, you know, he always gives you the appearance that he's really trying really hard, and he probably really is. But defensively, he's just been a nightmare. I think he's been better lately. Right. Kreider's always been a guy who has trouble without the puck. But I think he does try. I think Miller tries 100%, but he has trouble without the puck. So, yeah, you go down the line. Now you got Nash, who has had a very poor season, regardless of the injury. And we know he has a very poor playoff record. And he's also now not playing well. So he's got the triple whammy. And I think without their top six playing really well, I don't see how they match up against anybody.
No, I agree. But here's the one thing I will give the Rangers in terms of an ounce of hope moving forward is one thing. Zuccarello led the team in points with 61. There's not a Ranger in the top 40 scorers in the NHL. Maybe he's 40th. So the one thing I will say with the Rangers, because they are one of the top 5, 6, 7 teams in terms of team production goal-wise, mm-hmm. is they have balanced scoring. They came out of it with 520 goal scorers. They have balanced. Unlike last year, I think they have a stronger fourth line going in this year. So there is no excuse. They have four lines they can roll. I really believe the X factor is what Eric Staal brings to the playoffs. You know, I know we took the rest of the game off yesterday after banging his head. But I think him, if he winds up keeping him with Hayes and, you know, on that third line, I think he's the X factor in what that third line brings. But those top two lines, they got to produce, and it's there. It can be done. But a guy like Kreider, he's a straight line player, A to B. Get to the front of the net. And another overall theme with the Rangers, get pucks to the net. Rick, I saw it in games 4 and 6 last year against Tampa when they won those games. They got pucks to the net. They scored on second and third chances. When they didn't do that, they got shut out twice at home. And I got to be honest with you, that was another thing that, for me as a fan, carried into the season and through this season. If that does not change in a hurry, which it might not, that's going to be a big problem for them.
Yeah, and they should be able, you know what, they should be able to get scoring from the top three lines. Pittsburgh's defense outside of Letang is not very good.
Right.
It's not very experienced, and it's certainly susceptible. But I think Pittsburgh is also going to give the Rangers all kinds of fits with their speed. And I didn't necessarily think that a month or so ago.
Right.
Because I didn't think much of Phil Kessel as a player. And I think Carl Hagelin is a good player, but he's a third liner.
Yep.
But now Hagelin and Kessel together are playing like a second line. And they are both just super speedy, as you know. And I think those guys are going to give the Rangers all kinds of problems with matchups.
It's almost like Hagelin's arrival gave Kessel a jump start. He's been much, much better. That overtime win that the Pittsburgh Penguins had at the Garden a couple weeks ago, that was the best I've seen him play, period, in the games I watched.
That's the best I've ever seen him play, ever.
And Letang, not for nothing. Okay, maybe he doesn't win the Norris Trophy, but that guy, I mean, he dishes it out and he takes it and he puts up big points for that team. I mean, he's had a great season.
Yeah,
he's a superb player. You know, and I was talking to somebody about Norris vote, and I don't know that I could actually put him on a Norris ballot.
Right.
But he's just a superb player, and you're right, he's tough in terms of taking it and giving it, just like Kunitz. He's another one who's, you know, he'll stick you, he'll give you the stick, he'll take a hit, he'll take some penalties. But they've got a team that competes, and they're not the old Penguins. They're not as good as they used to be, but they'll compete, and they can fly. And the guy, of course, we haven't even mentioned.
What's the word on Malkin? What's the word on Malkin? Is there any?
I haven't heard anything, honestly. I haven't even given any thought lately.
Do you have any info on Murray, the goalie, or no?
No, I don't.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about asking you about that right now.
I have no idea. I've been so busy.
All right, but we know that Sidney Crosby turned it on offensively. He carried the team just like Malkin did when he was out a few years ago. I mean, he did a great job leading the way. And we talked about Kessel. We talked about Hagelin. We talked about Letang. For the Rangers, though, who do you view as, like, maybe the biggest three players that need to be and have a tremendous effect on this series in order for them to get a win?
Well, I think certainly Brassard. I mean, I expect Stepan and Kreider to be fine.
Right.
I think Brassard has to be better, has to be more, has to have a little more intensity and urgency in his game.
Yeah,
and
I
think he's a key, and he usually does. I mean, he's been pretty good in the playoffs in the time he's been here.
Right.
So I think he's good. I would say Nash, but I don't want anybody laughing at me.
let me ask you a question. What Nash, number one overall pick. Why does he disappear in the playoffs? And what's going? He should be, you know, stepping it up big time right now.
I have no idea. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, a lot of guys do get shut down in the playoffs. You can't explain it happening year after year after year with this guy. And, you know, there are times when he just stops going to the dirty areas. Just doesn't do it. Doesn't go near the wall. Stays on the perimeter. And then there are other times when he does it and he still can't score a goal like he did in the finals in 2014. I thought he played really well and really hard in that series.
Right.
And still couldn't get a sniff. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what it is with him, and I'm certainly thinking it's got to be on the table to move him this summer because of the contract and the production that he gives you at that contract. So, but he's certainly a guy who can make a huge difference if all of a sudden he finds something. And then the other guy is Zuccarello, who I thought they missed him terribly after he got hurt in the Pittsburgh series last year.
Yeah, they showed a lot getting through Washington without him, but they certainly missed his work ethic. I agree with you. You know, his defensive play at times is head-scratching, but I found that with a lot of players this year. But his work ethic's always there. He always works hard. Broussard is the guy. I thought you had the perfect example of a guy who doesn't give effort where it's clearly evident that you must. Not whether you do it or not, but where you must. And I think Nash, you know what, Rick, this is how I look at Rick Nash, because I kind of think we look at big-picture things. So, like, with Washington, what's the monkey on their back? They haven't been past the second round with Ovechkin on their team since he got there. It's amazing, right? With the Islanders, what's the monkey on their back? They haven't won a playoff series in over 20 years. With Rick Nash, the bottom line is, in general in the playoffs, since he's been here, he's worked hard, but he's not a third, fourth line player. He has 9 playoff goals in 56 games.
Yeah.
He takes more shots than anybody. He's going to be judged on whether he scores goals or doesn't.
Yeah,
and he has to start in a hurry, I think.
There's no doubt, but it concerns me, too, that the rest of his game has suffered lately. I mean,
yes.
Normally you could say, well, he's played well, and he theoretically is their best player up front by far.
Right.
Because they don't really have a star-type player. But he hasn't been that lately. And so, you know, he falls down a lot, and he hasn't scored, but he also doesn't make plays. He doesn't make his teammates better when he's out there with them. And I think his entire game has suffered. But you're right. I mean, there's only one thing he's going to be judged on now, and that's scoring goals, or unless they win the Stanley Cup and he doesn't score. But, I mean, he's going to be judged on him scoring goals from now until June, however long they last. And that's going to be it.
You know, and I was hoping, only because I saw he got hurt, and I know he struggled this year, as opposed to last year in the regular season, I'm kind of hoping that Eric Staal coming in, a guy who's a proven leader in the playoffs, who averages a point per game in the playoffs, who's won a Stanley Cup and gone to a semifinals, even though he hasn't had years and years in playoff competition, he's been big time each time he's been there. I'm hoping that he compensates, or more to the Rangers' advantage, ignites Nash with his performance. I'm hoping he gets off to a quick start. I actually look at Eric Staal being the X factor. And I think because of coming into the season, I didn't see the progress that I wanted from Kreider in terms of the regular season. I'm kind of looking at Kreider as being X factor number two.
Yeah.
The other thing on top of that is just, this is the Rangers' window of opportunity. You know, a lot of things that they're doing as a team, like they have back-to-back 100-point seasons for the first time since the early 70s. That same team had a Hall of Fame goalie who didn't win a Stanley Cup. You know, most Hall of Fame goalies win a cup. The only two I know of that didn't are Tony Esposito and Eddie Jackman. And the window's open for Hank. He's 34, I think, now. And this may be, right off the bat, a series that he needs to steal, especially if he's not playing Fleury at all and he's going against a first-time goaltender. It might be even more weight on his shoulders, but I think he would put that on himself personally anyway. Do you find any validity to that?
Well, I should have mentioned this first thing I said when we started talking, because it's the first thing that I wrote yesterday, was that no matter what, with all the other stuff with this team, he has to play out of his mind for them to have a chance against Pittsburgh. I mean, he has to And he has to be as good as he's ever been.
Right.
He can't be the guy he's been the last few weeks or the last month. And certainly plenty of nights he's been very, very good. And plenty of nights he's been pretty good or not good at all.
Right.
But he needs to be out of his mind against Pittsburgh, in my opinion. And I think he will be, because nobody is as competitive as he is. And he always, he'll use this kind of a break here, this few days. I haven't played since Thursday.
Right.
And he won't play probably till Thursday. He'll use that time with Benoit Allaire, and he'll have his game ready to go when the puck drops. But he is going to have to be fabulous. And you're right. I think he's got years left, because he's in tremendous shape. He's gotten better with his performance, with his off-ice stuff and his work with Allaire. And I think that he will, he can play at a high level for a long time. And goalies do. We've seen goalies over the years, even back in the 50s and 60s, play well into their late 30s. But you're right. I mean, I don't think the window is just with him. I think the window is the core of this team and him. And that is closing. There's no doubt about it. It's not closed, but it's closing.
No, you know what, Rick? It's evident that regardless of what happens this year, whether they go far, whether they win all, if they get knocked out in the first or second round, they're going to have to retool on defense on the fly, meaning Dan Boyle leaves or retires, and a guy like Brady Shea is there full time. You know, a guy like, if Yandel doesn't re-sign, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, Dylan Mickelrath, he stays. Does a guy like Ryan Graves in the next year or two make it? That has to be done on the fly. The core of the forwards, they're there. Then they got to decide what they do with Eric Staal. I ain't worried about that till the playoffs are over. I worry about it. Now, the last thing I wanted to ask you about before we leave is just from a historical standpoint, because I started watching the Rangers 40 years ago. So I did not see the gag line or anything like that. But for a guy who's been around this team and growing up saw that team play, not that it's exactly the same. That team had more Hall of Famers, Rattel and Gilbert and obviously Giacomin. This team, more or less the only Hall of Famer they have right now, is Lundqvist. But in terms of results and success and getting to the Cup or to semifinals, do you see the similarity between this one and that early 70s team?
In a way, I do. That team, and I was a young kid, and I didn't cover that team.
Right.
I didn't cover those teams. But right. That team, to me, was as good as any team in the league, but didn't have Bobby Orr. And, you know, I think with Orr, you know, Orr just dominated them, and Orr dominated everybody.
Right.
And without Orr in the league, maybe the Rangers do win one of those cups. And certainly they had, you know, then they ran into the Flyers, and the Flyers just beat the hell out of them. So, but I think that team was similar in that way, in that it was considered a contender every year during that window. And these Rangers were too. These Rangers, you look around the league, and teams see the Rangers, and they think, wow, you know, that's a good team. That's a team that we're going to have to go through to get to the Stanley Cup.
Right.
And we may not think that, but that's how they're looked at around the league. And I think that's the way the early 70s team was.
Yeah, and it was a different NHL than it is now,
as
opposed to then. You know, they had the next best thing to Bobby Orr. We had Brad Park. You know, that's a fourth Hall of Famer. So they actually had four Hall of Famers on that team. My issue as a fan is, and maybe more of an issue with my father because he lived through that and agonized through the early 70s with that team, is, you know, the best two goalies to never win a cup are Tony Esposito and Ed Giacomin.
Yeah.
So to have it where you have two of the best goalies to never win as part of your franchise, that's going to sting. And that's why even if they don't win this year, they need to keep that window open and retool that defense on the fly moving forward. You agree with that, or you think?
Well, I do. I think they have, you know, I think Jeff Gordon's going to be busy. I think he's going to have to be very creative with the salary cap. And I don't know that he can move a Girardi or a Staal,
right,
with their no-trade clauses. And I think, you know, Boyle's pretty much guaranteed to retire after this season. And I'm not sure they can bring back Yandel, because he's going to, you know, if he wants to go free agent, he's going to get $6 or $7 million a year. And so I think he's going to have to be really creative to fix this, fix the defense.
Right.
I think the forward group is going to be okay, although they're going to lose Eric Staal.
How does Yandel warrant that kind of money?
Because first of all, right, Rick, if Yandel has a productive, if they go
If he does something
second
in the
round, third round in the playoffs, and he has a productive playoffs, which they need him to put up points, especially on the power play, since the penalty kill has been so poor. If he has a productive postseason, he's going to cash in like Strowman did or some other guys, right? I mean, that's just a fact of life.
There's no question. And but I mean, you look at the money that's thrown around every July 1st.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's why I think he's going to be
That's another move that really hasn't panned out for the Rangers. I know we spent the first hour talking about the lack of moves the Islanders made. The Islanders, the Rangers have made some big moves in the last few years, and on a whole, they really haven't panned out into what you thought they were going to be. The Stahl trade basically gave up nothing for him, but you know, he finished up very strongly for you in the season. And you mentioned Ford gave you some nice experience come playoff time. But Nash is not certainly not panned out to what they I think the Rangers anticipated him to be. And really, honestly, neither has Yandel.
Not defensively, but offensively.
Even offensively, but he's not put up the numbers, I think, that with the expectation that he came here with.
Yeah, he puts up the assists, but he doesn't shoot the puck nearly enough. But that's an overriding theme with the team. Yeah. Right, Rick? I mean, that's an overriding theme with this team at times.
In terms of not
shooting the puck. Like, Yandel's one of those guys. He doesn't fire the puck when he has to.
No, they have their five or six of their top players are pass-first guys.
Yeah.
No question about that. And I think that's why the power play stalled for as long as it did.
Right.
But I think with him, you want him passing the puck because he moves it and he lets them use their speed. As far as that move not working out well, I mean, if they won Game 7 last year and got into the finals, you know, you may have a different look at how that move turned out.
Yes.
But that move is ultimately going to be determined by what Anthony Duclair becomes.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that. Okay, so now, just to finish up here, Rangers, Penguins, it's a definite. What's your prediction on the series?
I'm going to go Penguins in, I think, 6 would be the easy way out. Probably 5.
Penguins at 5.
Wow.
You know what? It's a fair choice given what I've seen this year out of the Rangers.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if they lost. Got to be honest with you, with their experience factor, I wouldn't be shocked if they won, especially if it's Lundqvist versus a rookie goalie.
Well, Pittsburgh has experience too. You know, you can't count that.
Best
out.
But they do have two big time players out injured. If Fleury's not there and Malkin doesn't come
back,
you're
absolutely right. That's to me.
The goaltending is on Pittsburgh.
That's to me is the real going to be. I think is going to be the deciding.
And if Hank could take the team on his back, and carry him,
and the Rangers could squeak it out.
They could easily do that.
All right, Rick. Is there any other words of wisdom you can impart that would make me feel better around these Islander fans before I leave here today?
Well, I'll tell you what, I do not think, you know, although I'm taking Penguins in 5, I think the Penguins will win the series. I don't think, and let's back up a little bit. Until a couple of weeks ago, I thought the Rangers were the second best team in the East.
Right.
And right now, even as flawed as they are, and they are flawed, they're still the third best team in the East. And they can beat any of those other flawed teams. There's no question in my mind. The Penguins are not perfect. They're good. They're on a great run, and they're very dangerous. But they're not a great team. They're flawed.
Right.
I think all the teams that lined up behind Washington are flawed, and there's nobody. The Rangers couldn't. I wouldn't fall off my chair if the Rangers beat any of them.
Right.
The only one would be Washington.
And Washington has a history of destroying the hopes and dreams of their fans every year.
And Washington will have its most difficult, in my opinion, will have its most difficult test in the first round when they have to deal with all that history, with a goalie who's never done it,
right,
with a superstar who's never done it, and then now they're heavy favorites and with great expectations. Their first round is going to be really difficult. And I think once they get through that, and the Rangers won't see them until the second round.
Right.
So once they get through that, I think they're going to be really, really dangerous. And then I would fall off my chair if the Rangers beat the Capitals.
I understand where you're coming from with your thought process, but I look at it this way. Hopi was a finalist for the Vezina last year. He's going to win the Vezina this year. His kryptonite is the Rangers. He's lost to them 3 times. I've seen him pull a big series wins. They did it against Boston 1 year, but the Rangers have beaten him the 3 times they played against each other. I just differ from you in a little bit only because of this. If Washington loses in the first round this year, they did it when they won 54 games and Halak beat them when he was a member of Montreal. If they lose in the first round to Philly, I will never care about regular season hockey again at all. The only reason I view their biggest test coming in the second round is because the stat for that team and that organization and that fan base is that Ovechkin's never been past the second round. And I think that that's when the weight – I think the weight's heavy in the first round. I agree with you because Philly is going to – they're going to play – you know, they are a high character in terms of work ethic type team. They turned it around, playing much better team defense down the stretch. But I just view the Capitals as being defined on what happens in the second round. I do not see them even coming close to losing in the first round. So I guess we just differ on that one.
I'll disagree with you there.
Okay. No, I think they're going to win that one in five or six games for some reason.
Well, if they do, I think they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yep, I got you. No, and that, you're probably accurate with that. All right, Rick, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rick.
I'll be seeing you at the Garden, okay, buddy?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a lot of fun.
Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. After the break, we're going to come back. Little Islander breakdown for their series versus Florida. We'll have Scott Charles from Islanders Insight join us. And my three musketeers here will be asking the questions then. So back after this.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines. Also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, folks, we are back on Sports Talk 1240. You're with Sweeney and the Laws. Sweeney felt a little short-handed, so he brought in two extra Islander fans to help him feel better about himself and his team. Johnny Panarese joined us. Matt Rosano, three cops and a convict. One convicted Islander fan
like a new
joins
show.
Us.
I will say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know. It does sound. That's what we should call the show.
That might be a new theme going forward.
Capuano did a great thing today by resting everybody and getting them ready for the Florida series.
First thought.
And I'm glad the Islanders lost today. 5-2. And here we go to Florida.
So the honesty seeps right in.
The honesty seeps right in, baby, because you don't want...
Now you can celebrate the fact that you're playing the Florida Panthers.
Thank you. I'm going to say this.
And the man, your boy Milbury, traded away a long time ago...
Could come back and haunt me.
...is come back and take a chunk out of the Islanders.
Could very well.
Your boy DPH is going to be all over MSG2 covering it, and Luongo is going to know all about it. And he's going to be laughing between the pipes, possibly.
Earlier this week.
Or at least that's my dream. I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Earlier this week, the owner of the Florida Panthers, or partner of the ownership, is from Long Island, New York.
That's right.
Diehard Ranger fan.
Right. And who did he say he wanted to play?
He wanted to play us.
That's right.
He said he'd bring on the Islanders.
He's scared of the Rangers.
Now he's got us.
Scared of the Rangers.
That is on in the locker room right now, and we're ready to go, baby.
And your fans have a chance to go to a game, because since they don't sell out the ballpark, they go to Florida.
As you like to point out to me all the time, that the Islanders have not won a playoff series without Al Arbor behind a bench or Dennis Potvin playing on a team.
That's right.
Maybe the fact that we'll have Dennis Potvin in the booth, albeit for the Panthers, could be the deciding factor.
Yeah, I like that.
Because he's going to be calling games for them.
He's going to be calling games. And you know deep down he's going to be rooting for the Islanders. He's got to root for them.
All right. So
with all his rings on his fingers.
I like that. For you, not for me. let's welcome aboard a measure of balance here. Let's bring in Scott Charles from Islanders Insight. Scott, how's it going tonight, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
We got a lot of excitement in the room, Scott. I know I'm the lone Ranger fan here. I got a lot of questions from John Sweeney is my partner. He's going to be asking you some questions. Matt Rosano, John Panarese. I want them to get right to it with the interview with you. But before they start asking you questions, give us a little insight on what you think is going to go on with the Islanders coming up this week against the Panthers.
Well, the Islanders are going to Florida, and I think that's the matchup they wanted. I don't think anyone wants to play the red-hot Penguins these days.
Right.
So the Islanders, I mean, they have a good team. Like, let's see if they get healthy. Travis Hamonic skated the other day. Is he going to be able to play game one? But the Islanders definitely have a fighting chance in this series, and they could make some noise in that bracket.
That's what I was happy about. I was happy about the bracket because, I mean, after the Florida series, you got Tampa and Detroit. I mean, you want to go that way, or you want to play Pittsburgh, the hottest team in the last month, or Washington after that. See what happens. But you know what? Hey, look, Florida's not going to be as easy as everyone thinks they're going to be.
No, they're definitely not going to be as easy, and I wouldn't look ahead just yet because the Islanders haven't won a playoff series since 1993. But this is a good matchup for them. I mean, they could, as Jack Capuano said the other night, they could have been 0-3 versus Florida, so definitely do not overlook them. Alexander Barkov is one of the best two-way centers in the game. Jaromir Jagr has had him. It's pretty much his season, so it would be a shame for him to go out in the first round. But the Islanders, if they can get back to playing that fast, aggressive style, they could throw teams off balance and put a dent in the Florida Panthers, who haven't been there before.
Right. What do you think has to happen? What do you think the Islanders need to get together before the series starts in order for them to have a chance at getting out of the first round?
I think that they need their secondary scoring to play. I think they need to get contributions from their second and third line, especially if they keep this top line of Franz Nielsen, John Tavares, and Kyle Okposo together. They're going to need Brock Nelson to score. They're going to need Ryan Strome, who's been lost for a lot of the season, to play a big role for them. And Thomas Greiss is going to have to be the same goaltender he was versus Tampa Bay a few nights ago, versus the Rangers also a few days ago.
Right.
Yeah, I think Greiss stepped it up. I think now he realizes that he's the guy. That's my opinion. And he stepped it up against Tampa and against the Rangers. It was just...
He's certainly the guy now, and I think it's a different mindset for Thomas Greiss to be the backup goalie pushing the starter, where now he's the starting goalie. So he has to accept that role, and I think he has to worry about a little bit about fatigue because he hasn't played this many games before. So that's one thing to keep an eye on, but I think he's ready for the challenge. Capuano praises his work ethic, praises how hard he works in the gym after every game. So I think I think he can do it. We'll see what happens.
Let me ask you a question about the first line. Why didn't Capuano move – have this line right now, because Tavares has been on fire. He had Strome and Bailey on that line, and it was killing him. Well, how come all of a sudden now?
Painful.
Yeah. Why didn't he have this earlier?
Ago. It was a couple games ago where he tried to mix it up and just tried to get some offense going. And I spoke to him after that game, and he said that wasn't his plan to use it offense. But it turned out that he needed to use that line to generate more offense. And honestly, pairing your three best players together, is that really the worst thing? Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin do it in Dallas.
Right.
Yep. You look all over the league, like having your best players on your top line, that's not a bad thing.
Right.
And Tavares is flourishing with that line.
He's doing well, yes. Flourishing is a strong word.
Relatively speaking, compared to earlier in the season.
Right,
you know. You know, but he did have 33 goals this season.
Right.
Like, this is not like that terrible for the season for this guy.
No, no. It's his second highest career, point total.
Scott, right. It's Matt here. Let me ask you something. With following the team day in, day out like you do, we were talking about this earlier in the show, and after that the 5-0 disaster against the Penguins, it was one of the first times I recall Capuano publicly calling out his second-tier players. And his team seemed to have responded to that since that happened. Do you see that continuing through the playoffs now, or is it something else that's going on with inside the organization?
He's not going to call out his players in the playoffs. He's going to need them to perform, but that was a one-time deal that he's trying to get a spark under their rear end for this thing. So I don't think he's going to do that again. You know, in the playoffs, it's a different thing. It's a mindset. These guys haven't been there before. Last year they played Washington and they struggled in that game seven. So I think they're going to be more prepared for the postseason this year. And maybe Florida's not prepared. They haven't won a playoff series in quite some time either.
Right, yeah, right. I do. Well, anything on the injuries? With I know Clutterbuck played today. Martin played today. I know they gave him a rest. And what about straighten them? And I love Pulak. I mean, he had two assists today. He's my guy. But anything on those guys or Halak? How he's coming along?
Yeah, Halak's not going to play in the first round. I think the second round would be a stretch for him. I don't have an update on straight. Pollock's going to play, I think. I mean, you know, he had another good game today. He's earning top six times, so you've got to let him develop here. Straight would be an odd guy out, so I don't think he really matters at this point. I mean, if Travis Hamonic can come back, that's the big thing.
Skated today. The thing is, I think Cappy should have been playing Pulak a little more to get him ready for the playoffs. And he kind of, like, eased up on him. He had him playing for a little bit, then he eased up on him and was putting Straight in there for a while. I know Straight got injured, but now Pulak's back. And we all love Pulak. I mean, he's got a big upside.
Yeah, I would have liked to see Capuano use Pulak in a similar role to the way Dallas used Klingberg last year. A lot of power play time, a lot of offensive zone face-offs. He chose to let him develop in Bridgeport, which is not a bad decision by any means. But now we'll see in the postseason how ready he is.
Right.
Absolutely. Like you mentioned, Brian Straight, he tends to get knocked around a lot by the fan base, but I thought he really made tremendous strides last year in that Capital Series and played much better with a struggling defensive partner that DeHaan had in that playoff series. But he really seemed to have never moved up or continued from that during the season this year. Any insight as to why that happened this year and obviously we're talking about Capuano continued to go with him despite dressing bringing up either Pulak or even a Mayfield throughout the season?
You know, Straight played excellent in that Washington series last year. Now, one thing that gets forgotten, Washington's bottom six forwards had 0 points in that series. So it was easier to hide defensemen. I mean, you remember Scott Mayfield coming in and looking like a genius, but he just had to make simple plays.
Yeah.
Straight never built off that year. He came into this year in the best shape of his life, he thought. But he's a seventh defenseman, and that's what he is in this league. Capuano has trust in him because of his defense-first mindset, but I don't think he's going to play in the playoffs if people are healthy.
Right, right. Who do you think of the younger players, who do you think we're going to see in the playoffs? Now, we've gotten looks at all these, you know, some of the quote-unquote better players from Bridgeport. Who's got the shot of actually being in the lineup come next week?
I mean, I don't think any of these guys are playing unless dire circumstances happen, but I mean, Ryan Strome, Brock Nelson, they're going to be here. I mean, Alan Quine's not going to be in the playoff lineup. Neither is Brackett Kearns. So which players are you referring to?
Well, I was just trying to group everybody. You know, those guys plus, Pulak, Scotty Mayfield, Adam Pellick.
Pellick, I think, could play. It's going to be a matter of his conditioning. He got up to par yesterday, played in his first game. It's tough to throw him in that situation to play in the playoffs. I mean, if Hamonic plays, that's a game changer, really, because Hickey and Pulak would be your third pairing and Mayfield would be your seventh. So it really depends if Travis Hamonic comes back from his knee.
I'm hoping he does.
Yeah, they need him.
Let me ask you, with Strome, why do you think Strome had such a major setback this year?
Yeah, he's been lost all season. I mean, that AHL demotion definitely didn't help his confidence. He doesn't know where he's going. I think he's had a tough transition to the wing. He's a natural center. I don't think he's quite strong enough to play on that wing. It's been an interesting year for you. This is a guy that had 50 points last year.
Right.
And now the Islanders' fourth-line center, Casey Cizikas, has more points than him.
Yeah.
So it's been a very down year for him, and this is a top prospect. This is a top draft pick that really regressed this year, and the Islanders were banking on him developing. So that was a big setback. But with all that said, scores 6 points in this playoff series, he could turn that image around really quickly.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Right.
Now, let me ask you another question. Who's going to take Lee's spot in front of the net? Is it going to be Brock? Or, I mean, who else?
You know, they don't really have another player to replace Lee, and that's a big problem. I think you're going to see Brock in front of the net. Poso has the body, but he likes to play on the perimeter a little bit more. That's going to be very interesting to see. I think at first glance, you're going to see Brock there, but they don't have that big body who's strong enough to withstand the beating you take in front of the net. So that's why Lee's loss is so big, because he's almost irreplaceable.
I agree. Right. With you. I agree so much with that. It was such a devastating loss, that loss.
No, like I said, he's a big body. He takes that spot in front of the net. It's key for with helping out our power play, which has been up and down all season here. Who do you anticipate coming out in this series that you know might have been average or even subpar during the regular season? Do you see that happening with any of these younger players on this team?
I'm not sure I understand.
You know, taking a look at the second, third line guys, do you anticipate anybody who has the biggest potential to really make a big leap and be the unsung hero, so to speak?
Like a guy like Brock Nelson.
Brock Nelson would be my guy. I think he's going to have a big series because he's going to have to lead the charge from the second and third line. I mean, you can't count on Ryan Strome at this point. He's going to play because you have to get him to play. But, I mean, you can't rely on him. So it's going to be Brock who needs to have a big performance because they're going to need production from that second and third line.
Now, Scott, this team here, Florida, right, you're going to hear a lot about the leading scorer. Yaga had 66 points. He's 43 years old. You're probably going to hear more of a storyline with Roberto Luongo because a long time ago he was traded away. He had an unbelievable season with what really is the storyline of this team. They're a young, hard-working team. They played great team defense. Gerard Gallant got a ton out of these guys. So for you, in observing this team, the three games against the Islanders, or just overall the season they had, between Alexander Barkov, he's 20 years old, puts up almost 30 goals, and their sensation on defense, Aaron Ekblad, who put up well over 30 points, probably might be the best defenseman in the series, even though he's 19 years old. Are those the two guys that you're looking at mostly, or what other Florida Panthers do you look at in terms of the Islanders really have to game plan for?
I mean, the one guy I'm looking at is Jussi Jokinen because he just seems to come up big in all of these playoff games.
Right.
He's just a crafty player. I mean, that's one guy I'm definitely keeping an eye on. Barkov is going to be the big guy because he's going to match up to Tavares all series long, and that's going to be a fascinating battle. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. I mean, the Vincent Trocheck injury, is he going to come back in this series? We don't really know.
Right.
So those are, I mean, Jokinen's my guy who I think is going to be the big-time player.
Right. And Trocheck's a tremendous loss, right? He scored 25 goals before he got hurt. Another 22-year-old. They got a lot of guys under the age of 25. This team, they'll be hungry, but what you referred to before with you didn't know how much they've won, they've only made the playoffs a handful of times. The only time they won playoff series was the year they went to the Stanley Cup. They beat Boston, Philly, and Pittsburgh in 1996, lost the Cup to Colorado. They haven't won any other playoff series since then.
If I recall correctly, the Panthers lost to the Devils in seven games a few years back.
Yep.
They do have some playoff experience. I mean, they do have a lot of veterans. Jagr's been around forever.
Yeah,
Jokinen's been in a lot of big games. Brian Campbell on the back end might not be the playmaker he once was, but he could definitely lead the charge in the locker room. So
and he's had a good year for them, right?
See what?
He's had a very good year for them, Campbell. He's a plus 30 or something like that. I mean, defensively, he's been pretty sound for them.
Plus minus stats could be deceiving a lot of times. But he's had a nice season for them. But, playoff hockey is a different animal.
Right. Yes.
You know, let me ask you this question. Just before you came on, we were talking about the owner of the Florida Panthers is from Long Island. He's a season ticket Ranger holder and this and that. He said about a week and a half ago, bring on the Islanders. Do you think that is going to have any influence on the series with the Islanders for the locker room, for just a little more motivation? Have you heard anything about
it? That would definitely be billboard material, but I think that the Islanders are a different group. They're pretty focused. I mean, Boychuk and Clutterbuck keep that locker room light. Tavares is solely focused on the goal. He doesn't want anything to distract him. I'm sure that's in the back of everyone's mind, but I think that really doesn't come into play here. I think the Islanders are trying to get that 1993 monkey off their back, and that's what they need to be focused on.
I don't even think anybody knows the name of the Florida Panthers owner. I'll be honest with you. This isn't like Ed Schneider going up against you,
right?
With the Flyers or something, and saying something.
Hey,
like
guy
that.
Made the comment.
Or the Dolans, if the Dolans ever said something like something like that.
Right.
But yeah, I remember reading that in the paper too. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. The guy was being honest. He wants the team with less experience.
Well, I mean, the Rangers are a playoff-tested team. Like, I spoke to a scout yesterday who said that despite what they did in the regular season, this is a team that knows how to win in the playoffs. So they don't want – I mean, no team wants to face them, and I'm sure Washington has no intention of wanting to face the winner of that Pittsburgh Rangers series in the second round.
Right. No, it'll be tough for them, but Rangers have bigger things to worry about right away. With the way Pittsburgh's played, with the way Mike Sullivan got them going offensively, the trade for Hagelin, how we got the performance of a Phil Kessel up, and the way Crosby's carried the team and put up points. To me, the biggest negative with Pittsburgh, and the only negative I can really find, is Fleury getting hurt, because Fleury really did have a good year. And so for him to get hurt, I know Matt Murray's a dynamite prospect, big minor league goalie last year, set all kinds of records down there, but he brings no experience.
Right, to the
doesn't
playoffs.
Mean he can't catch fire, but that might be an edge for the Rangers if he has to play the entire series.
That could be one edge for them, but you know what? I think the Rangers, they're not scared of anyone, as Mark Stahl said last game. They're not worried about what the opponent's doing. It's really going to be, can they control the defensive zone? Can they cover that guy in front of the net? That's really, they have to worry about their own game. The opponent's not going to dictate their results. It's going to be them.
Right. So will John Tavares pick up right from the get-go and keep putting up points? Is that one of the big things we're looking at from the Islanders coming into the series?
I mean, I almost think that's expected at this point. It's really going to be if those second and third line guys, like Nikolai Kuhlman, can he put in a couple goals? I think
right.
that's
yep.
the game. That's
how about Josh? Playoff. How about Josh Bailey? Can he
yeah,
have a type of series?
I thought we banned mentioning his name.
Oh, did we?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm just past the point of expecting anything.
Well, yeah, Bailey's another guy that regressed so much too.
Yeah, I mean, but you think about the series in 2013 that he had against Pittsburgh. You know,
well
that's a long time ago
that
now, and again, he's never developed.
But unlike Okposo, who built off of that, because he had breakout
fight,
moment against Pittsburgh in that series.
Yeah.
Also, Bailey really has not evolved.
No.
You know, to what you expect out of a top 10, top 15 draft.
Scott, I think you said it very well when we're past the point of expecting.
Yeah. Sorry to bring up his name.
Anything you get is a bonus from him, right, Scott?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, anytime you get scoring from your third line, it's a bonus in this postseason. But it's going to be needed. I mean, the teams who win are the teams that get that scoring.
Yes.
Right.
That's hockey playoffs almost in a nutshell right there.
You got a prediction for us for this series, Scott?
You know, at first glance, I think the Islanders can win this. I'm not sold on the Florida Panthers. For some reason, I've been saying this all season, they remind me a lot of the Nashville Predators of last season.
Okay.
A fun team during the regular season, but they're going to be out in the first round.
That's
what I like to hear myself.
They're extremely young and inexperienced. Me, a tough task for Jagr to lead the way. I mean, I know they look up to him. I know they've played real well defensively as a team. I think that their only hope, I think, is Gerard Gallant. You know, I know people hate to hear it, but I think Gerard Gallant's going to, you know, clamp down. And I think he's going to rely on, you know, especially if Halak ain't playing. Sort of like with Lundqvist versus Murray. I think he's going to rely on Luongo. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. He's been to a Stanley Cup with Vancouver. I think he's going to have an even more extreme focus on defense and blocking shots and taking the body. And I think he's going to take the offense when the Islanders present it. Because their defense, outside of Letty and Boychuk, they still are very inexperienced on the back line. And with
Hamannik
out, that provides opportunity. Well, I'm saying if he's out still, it provides opportunity for Florida.
Right.
Is that the
same? Yeah, I mean, I still think it's going to be a long series, and in a long series, anything could happen.
Right.
I mean, I'm sticking with it. I think the Islanders could beat the Panthers. I thought it for a while. I didn't think they'd end up playing them because of how much bad luck they've had in the past 20 years.
Right.
But I think they could. I mean, you know, they have a lot of the pieces.
All right, so my show's ending. I can only afford so much airtime. So give us a prediction from Scott Charles of Islanders Insight. What is your call on this series?
I'm taking Islanders in seven.
Oh,
road teams have had very good success on the road in the playoffs, so that's not a bad prediction.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you did say Halak. You don't think Halak's going to come back if the Islanders do advance? You don't think he'll be back for the second series?
I don't know. I mean, that's a far stretch. The initial timetable was 6 to 8 weeks. That'll be right around there. I think that's going to be early. I don't think he'll be ready.
Okay. Let's worry about one thing at a time.
Yeah, thankfully, despite that injury, goaltending has not been an issue for us at all.
Right.
Despite that injury, really, it has not been a problem for us at all season. So
Scott, before we let you loose, is there any injury updates that you do have definitively, whether a guy's going to play or not play? Anybody?
No. But, I mean, throughout the entire NHL, I can't offer you one injury update.
Right, so fans should just be checking in.
It's amazing in the modern era that NHL can still get
upper
away with
body,
that.
Lower body.
Let me ask you this, Scott, real quick before we go. That game when the Islanders came back against Florida where Capuano didn't go into the locker room with Tavares to address the team, you think the momentum of that will push and also on the back of the Florida Panthers' mind and the Islanders will go ahead? You think that's going to have any influence on the series?
No, I don't think that has any impact. I mean, it's a different season in the playoffs. Like, the regular season, play clean.
Right.
I just think it was the defining moment in their season, in a season where they had a lot of comeback wins, most recently against the Capitals, down 3-1, and they came back and won in overtime. They had beaten the Capitals all season. Yeah. So, Scott, people should be checking out on this insight for all the updates, whatever injury news you do come across between now and when the series starts, right?
Certainly, and we'll have playoff previews out tomorrow, X-Factor predictions. So definitely get to IslandersInside.com and follow us on Twitter, and we'll keep you updated.
All right, listen, we appreciate you coming on short notice. I talked to you yesterday, so I really thank you for previewing the Islanders and Florida, what's going to be coming up starting Wednesday in the NHL, and I'll see you at the Garden.
Thanks for your time, Center, Scott. I appreciate
it,
Scott.
Check it out all the time. You got a great website. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Right. And, folks, we timed it out perfectly.
We didn't even go down the...
what's that?
But I am going to say Pittsburgh in all right,
let's
five.
Go. Predictions. Sweetie, what do you got? What do you got? Pittsburgh
in five, Islanders in six.
John?
Pittsburgh in six, Islanders in seven.
Patty?
Pittsburgh in six, Islanders in six.
Look at this! Everybody's against me! You know what? I don't care.
You're against yourself, too.
I'm going to say Islanders in seven, and I'm going to say Rangers in seven. That's the way it's going.
If Rangers and the Penguins both lose the series, then I'll be happy.
Me, too.
All right, folks, we're out of here. Until next time, let's go Rangers!
Let's go.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.